the inhabitants thereof. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and we want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and as always, from week to week, if you are in the listening area and looking for a church home, or maybe you're visiting in the area looking for somewhere to visit on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night, we'd love for you to come and to be with us at the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We have a church website, mountlebanonbc.org. You can find out service times, address, all those important things. That's mtlebanonbc.org. It's good to have Noah in the studio today helping us out, and we appreciate that. Are you having a good day so far?
I am. I'm glad to be here, and we do want to say welcome to all those who are listening in right here on AM 1450 WATA out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on 89.1 FM The Truth out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate all of our listeners. And I want to make a local announcement before we go any further. And I made this last week, but coming up May the 19th through the 21st, at the Willow Valley Baptist Church, Pastor Ray Green is the pastor there. They're going to be having a Bring the Book Spring Jubilee. And that is a Thursday through a Saturday, evening services at 7 p.m. And Reverend T.D. Burgess is going to be the visiting evangelist. And that is Thursday through Saturday. Service starts at 7 p.m. May the 19th. So put that on your calendar. That's the night that it starts. Brother Burgess, we heard him preach a couple of years, maybe 3 years ago, and he's a great man of God, brought several good messages and always does, so we appreciate him. And then they're going to have a Saturday afternoon service at 1 p.m. With several different preachers, a Saturday evening meal served at 5, special singing every service, and so that's coming up at the Willow Valley Baptist Church, so we wanted to mention that. And that'll be here before you know it. Time flies. And what we want to do today, we're going to continue on with our series. And we have been bringing a series on the subject of heroes of prayer. And I was thinking about this the other day, how many years now that we have been on the radio. This July the 4th will be 7 years that we have been on the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and over those 7 years we have covered a huge array of different subjects, a variety of things, mainly the name of the radio broadcast, Blessings of Liberty, actually comes from the preamble to the United States Constitution, where it talks about the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, that we carry these blessings on. And we've covered a lot of different subjects, mainly from that time period of the American Revolutionary War, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. We've talked through all of those things in light of the Bible. We talked about just some things that come to mind. We did a long series on 9/11 and what that meant to our country. We did a series on personal finances. There's been a lot of things that we've covered over the past several years. And the purpose, you know, if you think about the big picture of the why of the Blessings of Liberty is sort of this: what can I do for my country? What can I do that would make a difference? And so we've sort of tried to focus on that over all these years. But here's what it took me about 6.5 years to come up with. Here's the answer to that. What can I do for my country that would have the greatest impact and that I can do right now today? The answer is in the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, Paul said, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." And so the answer to that question, what can I do for my country? The answer is first. That's what the Bible says, first of all. And you think about all the different things we could come up with that we could do to have a positive impact in our nation. Number one, God says, is pray. Pray for kings. Pray for all that are in authority. And that is what led us into this series on Heroes of Prayer. You know, you study about something, and it inspires you. It gets you thinking about your own prayer life, your own devotional life. And so we hope it's a blessing. We hope it is an inspiration to you. But today, we're not going to look at one person. We're going to look at the concerted prayer effort of three people that we study about in the Bible. And we're going to look today in Exodus chapter number 17, where we learn over there about Moses and Aaron and a man named Hur. Not H-E-R, but H-U-R. That's his name. Moses, Aaron, and Hur. And we're going to read over there in Exodus chapter number 17. Now, of all the prayer heroes we've looked at in the Bible, we have not looked at Moses yet. Moses, we could take, and we could spend several weeks on Moses. In fact, I preached a series of messages one time on Moses and how that he came before the Lord in chapter 33 of the book of Exodus. I believe it's chapter 33, chapter 32, and where he told the Lord, "Show me thy glory," and about revival and how we need revival in our nation. So there's a lot of things when we come to Moses that we could say. He was a great intercessor. He was a great patriot as well as a great prophet and a great leader of the nation of Israel. But over here in Exodus chapter number 17, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 8, and I'm going to read down through several verses, and I'm just going to make some comments along the way about Moses and Aaron and Hur, what the Bible says. So the Bible said in verse number 8, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim." And so we find that Amalek comes to fight against Israel. And Amalek, that's a nation, and they are the continual enemy of Israel. We find them over and over and over again in the Bible where Amalek is fighting against it. I mean, they are continually going to battle one with the other. They are not allies. They are enemies. I thought about it like this, sort of like when I was growing up. The enemy of the United States was always Russia. You know, we've seen ourselves, America, the good guys, Russia, always the bad guy, the Cold War, all of that going on, the continual threat of war, back and forth, and we haven't been in war with Russia for many, 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 you know, I don't know that we've ever been all out in war against Russia, but we find that that's how it was. They were continually at odds with each other. They were continually fighting with each other. And the Bible goes on and it says in verse number 9, it says, "And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." And so Moses gets his general up there. Joshua is his general. He's the military leader. And Moses, he's the leader of all the people. And Moses gets Joshua up there, and they come up with the plan of attack. "Joshua, here's what we're going to do. Tomorrow, choose you out men. Get the army together. You're going to go and fight against Amalek." He says, "I'm going to go to the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. Joshua, you're going to fight, and I'm going to pray." And that's the plan of attack. And can you imagine an army getting together today and saying, "Okay, fellas, here's what we're going to do. You're going to fight. We're going to pray. We're going to be at headquarters, and we're going to pray for you." And that's what Moses was basically telling there. And you might say today, "Well, what in the world has that got to do with us? That would never happen as far as we know." I'm sure there are leaders. I'm positive there are generals that would send their troops out and would pray for them as they went out into battle. But, you know, what has that got to do with us in this modern day in which we live? Well, next week, and I'm not going to say much about it, but just this, that next week we're going to give you an example from history that is very, very much like what we are studying here in the Bible. In fact, it is almost an updated version of what we find here in Exodus chapter number 17. So there is modern examples of leaders sending out their troops, saying we're going to be praying while you're fighting. And that's what we have here in verse number 9. That is the battle plan as the leader and the general get together. And he says, tomorrow you're going to go out and fight with Amalek. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. Now, verse number 10, the Bible said, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Now, in ancient days, when they would go out to battle, many times the general or the king, the leader, would do that very thing. They would all go out together to fight, and the leader would get up on a hill, get up on a high spot where they could see the whole battle unfolding before them. And that's what we have here. We have Joshua goes down into the valley, and he's fighting with the children of Amalek, and Moses gets up on the hill, it says here, and Aaron and Hur. Aaron was the high priest. And so we have the religious leaders. We have the leader of the nation up there. And they get up there and they're watching and they can see over the valley. And they can see how this battle unfolds before their eyes. Now, the Bible says in verse number 11, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And so can you see that in your mind's eye? What is taking place there? Moses is praying. That's what that is a picture of, that Moses has the rod of God in his hand. And that rod of God was God's authority. And whenever you find Moses, now sometimes it says Moses' rod, and that has no power. But when it's referred to as the rod of God, it has all kinds of power. That's what he did when the Red Sea was parted and the children of Israel passed over on dry land. He held up the rod of God in his hand. And before that, when he was down in Egypt and he went before Pharaoh and he said, let my people go. And Pharaoh basically says, you know, why should I do that? And Moses threw the rod down and it turned into a serpent and he picked it up by the tail and it became the rod again. That is a picture of the authority of God. And it is also a picture of prayer. So what we find here in verse number 11, when Moses was able to hold his hands up, that's a type of prayer. We're talking about prayer and how important it is. As long as Moses' hands were stayed up, Israel prevailed. They would win the battle. When Moses' hands got tired and he let his hands down, Amalek would begin to win the battle. So I can just see in my mind, I can see the battle going on down there in the valley, and I can see a great push one way, and it looks like Joshua and the children of Israel are just about to defeat Amalek, and Moses, his hands get tired, and then the battle goes back the other way, and the children of Israel begin to retreat, and Amalek gets the upper hand, and back and forth and back and forth. And we don't know how many times this took place, but the Bible just says that when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. And so there they are up on the hill, and the battle is going back and forth and back and forth, and it's the same thing today. It's the same thing in our society today. There's a lot of battles going on. In fact, Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 12, the Bible says over there, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's the chapter in the Bible that talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And that's the chapter in the Bible that talks about standing against the wiles of the devil. And that's the chapter in the Bible that talks about praying always with all prayer and supplication in verse number 16. And putting on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit and all of those things. There are battles that are continually going on in our society, in our churches, in our families, in our country. There's all kinds of battles that are going on. And sometimes there are victories, and at other times there are defeats. Have you ever thought about that? Why is there some things we win and some things we lose? I'm sure that most of you will remember it's been just a very few years ago now. in the state of North Carolina. A great controversy. Took up the whole election season. It's all everybody was talking about. And they were talking about the marriage amendment. And the whole state, back and forth and back and forth. And I mean, it was in the news. Churches were talking about it. Politicians were talking about it. This was an important thing. And we're going to go to the poll. And we're going to vote. And we're going to decide. And there was much prayer. And there was much effort. And there was a lot of money that was spent. And time and effort. I remember I took weeks and dealt with that. One week after another, and just dealt with that thing. And what did the Bible say? And what is best for us? And finally, we went to the polls as citizens of North Carolina, and the citizens of North Carolina voted. And a lot of people forget this, but overwhelmingly, the majority expressed their desire, and the people of North Carolina voted and expressed that their will was that marriage would be between one man and one woman, and this is the way that we wanted it to be, and it was to be put in our Constitution and made the law of the land. And so there was a victory there. There was great rejoicing on one hand. Well, there wasn't on the other, but there was on one hand. Well, time went on. It didn't take very long at all. There was a judge up in Virginia, circuit court, and made a decision and basically struck down the will of the people in North Carolina. So then they passed and said, well, marriage is between anybody and everybody. And so there was a defeat. And so there's victories sometimes and there's defeats. Same thing, somebody asked me a while back. They said, whatever happened with that book, that controversy over that book up at the high school? Well, that was a defeat. People got concerned. They met together. I went to the meeting over at the high school. A lot of controversy concerning the book that they had and they were using, and it had child molestation and abuse and all kinds of ungodly things in it. Well, it was defeated. As far as I'm concerned, that was a defeat. And so sometimes, or many times in life, that's the way it is. Sometimes there's victories. Sometimes there are defeats. But this is continually going on. Well, here's what the Bible said. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Verse number 12 said, but Moses' hands were heavy. And that means Moses couldn't carry the whole load all by himself. He was just a man, and his hands were heavy. He got tired. He couldn't stand there all day long with his hands held up. Battle is a wearisome thing. It is weary on the soldiers. It is weary on the leaders. It is weary on those that are at home and say, we're just, all we can do is just pray. But it is a wearisome thing, and people get tired of battling one thing after another thing after another thing. But in this life, we are never going to get to the place where there's no more battles. There's going to be perpetual battles, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means against other people, but against principalities and powers. There's spiritual battles continually going on all the time. And so here's what the Bible said, but Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And so the Bible said there in verse number 12, and they took a stone and put it under him. Now, when it says they took a stone and put it under him, that's Aaron and Hur. And what Aaron and Hur represent, here comes reinforcements. You see, Moses couldn't carry the load. Moses couldn't fight the battle. Moses couldn't win the battle all by himself. He had to have some help. And so Aaron and Hur, they are reinforcements. And what that is a type, that is a picture. What we have here in the whole chapter, we have a picture of God's men and God's people working together in prayer for victory on behalf of the people of God. That's what we have in Exodus chapter number 17. God's man, Moses, God's people, Aaron and Hur, God's people represented in Joshua down there on the battlefield. I think there's a great, great lesson here in Exodus chapter number 17. And one of the lessons that we learn from this is not to depend on the pastors and the preachers to do everything. And a lot of times that's exactly what happens. People depend on the preacher to go out, fight these battles, pray about these things, organize something to be done in order to win spiritual battles that are going on. But many times the pastors themselves are overloaded, and they are doing things that actually somebody else could come along and do and be a great blessing and a help to the men of God. For example, this same thing went on in the book of Acts in the early church. And if you look in Acts chapter number 6, you find that the disciples there, I mean, the Lord's left them a great responsibility, and they get caught up what they refer to as waiting on tables. They had problems in the early church. They had a lot of poverty, and they were trying to help out some of the people. And they got drug into this controversy of, well, these people are getting a little bit more attention than we are, and we need some help over here. And the disciples, their resources, their energy was being drained by all of that. So they said in Acts chapter number 6, the answer to that was to choose out some people to help, some men to help in the waiting on of the tables. And I'm not going to read all of that, but here's what the disciples said in Acts chapter 6, verse number 4. Well, I'm just going to read verse number 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so the disciples said the number one thing we need to be doing is prayer and the ministry of the word. And they did that. They chose them people, and it pleased the whole multitude, and they chose men. And the result of that is a lot of people come to know the Lord. But their pastors were overwhelmed with physical responsibilities, and somebody else had to come along and take some of that load off of them so they could do what God had called them to do. But here's what I also see in Exodus chapter number 17. Those that were able to fight were doing the fighting. Everybody wasn't up on the hill, but those that were able to, they were down in the valley and they were fighting, and that was Joshua and his army. And those that were able to pray were praying. Now, a lot of people say, well, I can't do this and I can't do that. Well, what you can do, you can pray. Everybody can pray. Now, there might be some that God calls or God puts on their heart to organize a petition, to organize people to call their senators, to do things like that, to get out massive loads of information that are very important. All of those things are important. All of those things are necessary. But everybody can't do that. But everybody can pray. And those that were able to fight were fighting. Those that were able to pray were praying. And the key to the whole thing revolved around Moses, the man of God. That's what it all revolved around. It revolved around Moses' hands being held up, which is a picture of prayer. I do notice this. The Bible says nothing about what Joshua was doing other than that he was fighting. Now, Joshua, no doubt, was a great military leader, and I'm sure he had a lot of great ideas. In fact, I can find other places in the Bible where he did. He was a military genius, and he was able to organize the army. But the Bible says nothing about that. It just says that sometimes Joshua prevailed and sometimes Amalek prevailed. It didn't matter about Joshua and the army as much as it did about Moses being able to pray. It didn't matter about his tactics, his maneuvers. It did not matter about the fitness of the army. It didn't matter so much about the weapons that they had and the Amalekites, the weapons that they had. It didn't matter about Aaron and Hur. Nothing is said about them as long as they were bystanders. You know, as long as they were watching, the Bible says nothing about that. It doesn't matter, or they're not mentioned until they come along and help Moses. And what they did to help Moses when his hands were heavy, they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Victory only came when all the pieces fit together and everything revolved around Moses' hands being held up. And I'm afraid in this day and time, one of the reasons why we're seeing so many defeats, one after the other after the other, is because we get distracted, we get drawn aside into other things. We forget how important it is for our hands to be held up to the Lord in prayer. And when we are dropping our hands to go and take care of other things, carnal things, worldly things, trying to win the battles that are going on out here in our own strength, we're going to lose. We're going to lose every time. Victory only came when all the pieces fit together around Moses' hands being held up. And that is what that is a picture of in verse number 12 and verse number 13. There's also a New Testament application. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 25, the Apostle Paul says this, simply, "Brethren, pray for us." And over and over and over again in the ministry of the Apostle Paul, he expresses that desire that God's people would pray for him. One time he said that the word of the Lord might have free course. And another time that he said that we may be delivered from unreasonable men. He had enemies. He had obstructions to the preaching of the gospel. And so he continually told God's people, pray for us, pray for us. And we find that over and over and over again. The battles that are going on today, and there's many, just pull up the front page of the newspaper or flip through to the editorial section or, just anywhere, and you'll find that there's all kinds of things that are going on in our society that are detrimental to our children, to lots of things. And so the battles that are raging, they are actually spiritual battles. Morally, there's a lot of questions going on concerning morality. Socially speaking, there's a lot of disunity in our nation. I mean, people can't agree on anything. And once upon a time, I believe we were able to come together, even though we might disagree, say, on a candidate. When the candidate won the election, people could come together and say, okay, I didn't vote for him, but I'm going to support him, and I'm going to try to be a good citizen. We don't find that attitude much today. We find that wasn't my guy, and I hate them. And one side hates this side, and the other side hates that side, and we can't get along. We're not unified at all in our nation. And so that's a sad state of affairs, physically speaking, politically speaking. But politics is a great spiritual battle going on. It's not just one side against the other side. There are spiritual ramifications with every election that goes on. Here's what the Bible says over and over again. For example, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." What that means is the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means the weapons of our warfare, talking about the Christian's warfare, is not carnal. It means it's not fought with guns. It's not fought with fists, knives, baseball bats, placards, signs, bumper stickers, all of that stuff. That's not the weapons of our warfare. But our weapons, the Bible talks about, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It's talking, if you read the whole chapter, about the subject of prayer. Prayer is how the Christian goes to battle. Prayer is how God's people win the battles. And boy, if we could just get a hold of that. And if we could get a hold of the fact that it's not just the preachers, it's not just the missionaries, it's not just the evangelists, but God's people have to come together. And we have to hold up one another's hands in prayer to the Lord. And so what a great lesson this is from Exodus chapter number 17. Now I hope you can tune in next week. We're going to be looking at an historical example, and I hope it'll be a help to you. So our time is quickly come and gone today. Noah's going to come give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty on AM 1450 WATEA, brought to you by Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. You can reach us through our website at mountlebanonbc.org.